All right, we are back again, and as I promised, we're going to have the rest of the show devoted to vitamins. And lines are open if you want to. We had a lady actually last week that called in, and she knew so much about vitamins, and that's the reason why we're having this program. 877-970-2999. I have my good friend over here, Dr. Ron Hoffman, who's recognized as one of the really America's foremost complementary medicine. He has his own radio show, has been talking about this for a long, long time, and I've listened to your show many times, and I've learned a lot from you about vitamins, which one you should be taking. Is it going to replace our fruits and vegetables? And, you know, we are becoming a little bit of a lazy nation, so it's a quick fix. Ron, good morning. Thank you for being here. Dr. Hoffman, 50% of Americans are taking vitamins. It's become like a huge business. Somewhere between $15 billion to $20 billion a year is going into this. And since 1970, the amount of consumption of vitamins has gone up almost doubled and tripled. And I talk to my patients, they come in now with bottles after bottles of these vitamins, saying like, doc, you know, is this going to keep me healthier? I have my own personal bias, and I use the word bias because I never really studied these. This is not my field. I'm a surgeon, a urologic surgeon for prostate cancer. So I don't certainly claim that I know a lot about this, but I'm a huge fan of vitamin D because of the research behind it as far as diabetes, colon cancer, and on and on, bone density, etc., and calcium. But, you know, tell us about vitamins. You know, what do we need to know? Are they real? All this negative publicity that recently has come up about vitamins, that we're not getting what we really want. What's the scoop on this?
Yeah, well, there are two aspects to it. You know, first of all, vitamins can provide somewhat of an insurance policy for people who have nutritional gaps. So there's a rationale for, say, more magnesium. For the vast majority of Americans who eat refined foods, they're under a lot of stress. They may literally leak magnesium from their bodies. The estimates are that maybe 80% of Americans have suboptimal levels of magnesium. And this is not the classic vitamin deficiencies that we learned about in medical school. You know, we have beriberi, and we have rickets, and we have these terrible nutritional deficiency disorders, which are rare in America because we mostly get adequate diets. But then there's the issue of, can we optimize our performance by taking a little more? And then yet another issue is the targeted use of specific nutrients for specific conditions. And that's really what interests me in my practice, is what we term nutraceuticals, you know, specific nutrients that can hone in on certain health issues.
So you talk about the beriberi, which is the deficiency of vitamin B1. And if you look at like the history of this, it's very interesting. This beriberi actually was discovered by Japanese sailors when they switched from brown rice to white rice. And they basically started to see what we call beriberi. And they lost a lot of vital amines. And originally the name vitamins came from that you're losing a lot of these vital amines, and then it became vitamins. Vitamin C deficiency actually led to a scurvy, which is like a lot of bleeding gums, etc., in the British sailors. And over the years, we started like replacing our vitamins, and we took care of these diseases, but then came everything else. So now you have vitamin A, E, C, you have the fat solubles, you have vitamin Bs, omega-3 fatty acid, etc. And we're not going to be able to get to all of them. First of all, this negative publicity about vitamins, is it true or not? If I go to any of these GMCs and Costco's and say, I want to get a bottle of vitamin E or any of these multivitamins, am I getting the real stuff? How do I know if it's not some powder from China that has like chalk in it?
Well, I think rumors of the adulteration of vitamins have been exaggerated by media reports and sensationalistic politicians. The district attorney of the state of New York, Eric Schneiderman, launched a sting operation against four major retailers, including GNC, Target, etc. And they used a methodology that was faulty. They used DNA barcoding, which is a good way to tell if the fish on your plate is really a Chilean sea bass or if it's a counterfeit. But it's not a good way to detect whether a supplement is adulterated. And so, for example, if you looked at a molecularly distilled fish oil, which is highly purified, and you used DNA barcoding, you might find no fish DNA in there. Which is actually good because that means it's less fishy tasting. It's more pure. It just has the active ingredients, the EPA and DHA that you want. So they use the wrong methodology and then they accuse the manufacturers of adulterating their products or not having any active ingredients.
So it wasn't a very accurate way. The Consumer Report didn't do a justice to this vitamin.
But no question, you know, there's some manufacturers out there who are making bogus products, you know, some this whole area of the male enhancement products, some of these sports nutrients. A lot of that is junk with claims that are outlandish, certain weight loss products. You know, I think the vitamin industry is in kind of a crisis now. It's sort of a tale of two cities because we have certain manufacturers who are highly responsible. They're really following the rules. They're doing very innovative things. Their supplements are pure and clean. And then there are other manufacturers who are unscrupulous and they're just going for the bucks.
And I think that's the hard part for a lot of consumers out there to decide which one is which way to go. Yep. Let's talk to Jason from Great Neck. Jason, good morning. And by the way, if you have any questions about vitamins, 877-970-2999. Or if you have comments about this, we're with Dr. Ron Hoffman, who's really knows a lot about these alternative medicine and vitamins. Jason, good morning. Dr. Samadi here.
Yes, good morning. Dr. Samadi, thank you very much for taking a call.
Sure. Pleasure.
Yeah. I've been watching you for a few years now, and it's been a great show and so much information.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
My question today has to deal with the soy and omega-3 as they relate to prostate cancer. Is there any benefits or whatever?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you asked about the vitamins and prostate cancer. And before we get to that, I want to talk to you about vitamin E, because there has been a lot of studies, clinical trial studies called SELECT. And we talk about selenium and vitamin E. For years, we studied thousands of patients, and we thought that these vitamins can actually reduce the risk of prostate cancer. And some of the observational studies have shown that even soy or omega-3 fatty acid can reduce risk of prostate cancer. But, you know, on the randomized studies, we found out, and actually this came from Cleveland Clinic, where there is increase of 17% in prostate cancer as a result of taking 400 milligram of vitamin E. So I think the studies are mixed. I think omega-3 fatty acid is actually good for you. We'll see what Dr. Hoffman has to say about that. Not just for prostate cancer, whether it's going to prevent or slow down, I'm not sure, but certainly for heart health, it's the way to go. The problem that I have with omega-3 fatty acid is that, if you're the type of person that's having two portions of salmon and you listen to some of the doctors on TV that you're taking your chia seeds, then you take like a mega dose of omega-3 fatty acid, some of that accumulation, and you know, that's where too much becomes, you know, it's going to hurt you, and it can have a reverse effect on some of the issues. And so too much vitamins is not good for you. Ron, what do you think about omega-3 fatty acid and soy?
Well, omega-3 fatty acids, I think, have been demonstrated in many studies to be protective against cancer because they're natural anti-inflammatories. I think that's the principle by which they prevent cancer. And yet there was one study, an infamous study that was out of Seattle, that looked at, is the same group that did the SELECT study on vitamin E. They did a study where they checked somebody's omega-3 levels once and then looked at their future health, and they found that the higher the level of omega-3, the worse their prostate cancer risk was. That's not really a study of taking pills or eating fish. They never asked people whether they took pills or eating fish. So that study, a lot of people consider it not good. Soy may have protective effects against prostate cancer. Questionable about breast cancer because it's estrogenic.
Yeah.
Possibly doesn't make a difference. Maybe for certain women, harmful. The word isn't in yet on the effects
so
of soy.
So the jury is out on that, Jason. And do you take any other vitamins besides these two?
I usually take a B12, I take a D3, CoQ10, and that's about it. Yeah.
Why do you take vitamin B12?
Well, I just basically over the last 3 weeks, I was on your recommendation. I heard on the TV that B12 was necessary and D3, so I just started using.
Yeah. So D3 and calcium, we'll talk in a minute. B12, on the other hand, has a lot of neuroprotective. And based on the studies that I have read, it's certainly in elderly, if the lack or deficiency of vitamin B12 can mimic a lot of symptoms of Alzheimer and dementia, etc. So knowing your vitamin B12 is critical. Ron, do you agree with that? And what do you do in your practice? When someone comes to you, what kind of tests would they get? How do you know somebody like Jason needs B12 or not? What signs and symptoms you look for?
It's difficult because you can test people for vitamin levels, and you can find the vast majority of people have adequate levels. It's rare that we find a true deficiency of a vitamin, but we might find, say, a suboptimal level of B12 in someone who's experiencing brain fog or low energy, and then we might boost it because certain people have what we call weak pathways, biochemical pathways, that we have to push a little harder. So they may have blood levels that are okay, but we can use genetic tests now to see that people might have a mutation in the gene that handles folate or B12. This is called the methylation pathway. We're beginning to use genetics to determine what supplements are most beneficial.
I think certainly for a lot of people who are vegetarians, vitamin B12 plays a critical role because you may or may not be getting your vitamins. And also, correct me if I'm wrong or not, but you know we're using a lot of these peptides and acid. And certainly in order to absorb vitamin B12, you need something called intrinsic factors. And the acid in the stomach has to activate that. And if you're taking a lot of these antacids, you may not have enough factors to absorb that. So you want to be, or you've had some surgery in your bowels, and that certainly could do that as well.
Lots of people take the drug metformin for diabetes, which is depletes vitamin B12.
Is that what you're on, Jason?
Yes, I am. Because I basically, I'm down to just a little fish and chicken a couple times a week. I don't have any beef in my diet at all.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, if you have any questions, we're always here. For anyone that wants to learn more about vitamins or have questions or comments, call 877-970-2999. Jason, thank you. And I think, you know, we'll talk about vitamin D3 in a minute. You should be taking also with calcium, and we'll talk about some of the dosage that Dr. Hoffman would recommend patients.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you.
I have my pen and paper out, and I'm taking notes now. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk more about vitamins.